person whom you're trying to reach is currently unavailable.
Can call without it being video chat. Okay. Oh, good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Herzog, the American Awakening, coming to you live from the Valley of the Sun on this Thursday, March the 8th, 2018 edition of the American Awakening. A little behind the scenes technical difficulties, but I think we've got that straightened out. Okay, folks. I was going to do a show today titled Under Siege, but I'm going to delay that one till tomorrow. Although, with what I intend to report today, well, it medically fits that title as well. For folks, it looks as if, covertly and stealthily, the elderly is indeed under siege. Now, there was a book that was written many, many years ago called The Retirement Nightmare. It was written by Diane Armstrong, PhD, and I interviewed her, I believe it was on RBN, about 10 years ago, read her book, and in that book, it provides a warning sent to all allegedly incapacitated seniors in, at that time, the state of Virginia, but I'm going to expand that and say it's throughout the country now because of what has happened in our medical profession, industry, healthcare, insurance, blah, 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 Obamacare, yada, yada, yada. It summarizes the nightmare that can befall senior citizens anywhere in the United States as a result of involuntary conservatorship or guardianship proceedings. Now, statutes originally designed to help elderly friends and relatives who are unable to look after their own personal or financial needs, they are now being increasingly abused. And by the way, this was written, I think, 10 years ago, folks, increasingly abused by they're calculating heirs to direct the transfer of family assets to themselves with the court's blessing. And let me add here, evidently now our own covertly and stealthily armed healthcare providers, and I'll get to that shortly, folks, based upon 55 cases drawn from courtrooms in her book, across America. And by the way, the author, Diane's own bitter experience. The retirement nightmare described what can happen to competent, not incompetent, not incapacitated, but competent senior citizens when such proceedings are filed against them by relatives. Now listen to this, folks, by relatives or, and I emphasize or, remember this, or other so-called protectors in the social welfare community. Now, in a minute, I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing this to your attention, and I want your input from this, folks, because I know a lot of you out there are on Medicare. Now, Diane Armstrong has been through this. She wrote about it in her book. Many of you know Janet Phelan. She's been through this. And this particular situation with Janet's mother was a lot of why she expatriated from this country. She doesn't live in this country anymore and was over that. Now, that's a story for another day. But I've been through this with my own elderly mother, may she rest in peace, for as her own medical power of attorney, I was threatened with being turned over to the authorities for elder abuse if I continued to argue against the drugs being prescribed her by her doctor, of whom, by the way, I was never allowed to question. Now, this was dealing with drugs he was prescribing her to well, supposedly make her more cognizant of her surroundings. And the problem I had with that, knowing my mother, is that she was in the latter stages of Alzheimer's disease. And if these drugs worked, and if prescribed these drugs, they would ultimately do more harm to her than good. For I knew if she became coherent enough to realize that she was in a nursing home, she would rebel vehemently. Trust me, it's in the genes, folks. And I knew my mother. Nonetheless, had I persisted, I would have found myself in front of a probate judge and would likely have lost that little control I had of her situation. So the drugs continued, which had no effect, by the way, thank God, excepting on her financial estate to the tune of about $600 a month. And this was 20 years ago, folks. But now, it seems it's been ratcheted up to a new Orwellian level. Now, I personally have been on Medicare now for a little more than 3 years, and I wish to make it clear, no one from Medicare has ever called me to ask any of the following questions, of which I'm going to get to. Never. Until I was talked into enrolling in AARP's United Healthcare Plan. Now, AARP and United Healthcare claim that Medicare requires me to answer the specific battery of questions annually that I'm about to get to here shortly. And by the way, Steve Elkins, I talked to him this morning, and he's listening to this program, and he's going to join me here. If you're listening right now, Steve, I want you to join me just prior to me submitting these questions to the audiences, because I want to bounce them off you from the medical perspective and get your thoughts. So AARP and United Healthcare are claiming that Medicare requires me to answer these questions annually. Now, keep that in mind, folks, because what's funny about this is that, as I just said, I've been on Medicare for 3 years, and I have never had anyone call me asking me these personal questions until I enrolled in this plan. And as John Stadtmiller will attest, as I've made him aware on more than one occasion, I've been on the phone with John, I'll get a call from United Healthcare that's interrupting my conversation, or other people for that matter. Since I have been enrolled in this plan, my phone rings at least two and sometimes as much as five times a week, repeatedly. They are consistently leaving me voicemails, of which I normally don't reply, as they are insistent upon intruding into my personal life. Now, the first time I answered their calls, I was interviewed in depth and asked to verify my doctor as being Dr. Stewart. And in that interview, I informed this young lady that though he was listed as my doctor, as, by the way, I was told by my insurance agent just to pick one out of this whole long litany list of doctors, I told them I have never seen Dr. Stewart. I don't know Dr. Stewart, never met Dr. Stewart. Now, this I'm certain they entered into my record. Now, since then, I think it was so, maybe about a month later, my phone started ringing again from these same people. And I've had at least 10 times over the past 2 weeks, I have consistently had these messages, these voicemails given to me by United Healthcare and AARP, who is the, you know, I don't know how that works. I don't know whether the overseer, I don't know whether their contract, I don't know how that contract works. But I do know that I've received at least 10 phone calls because I've looked at my phone. Okay, these people are relentless. They will not give up. And so, that said, I mean, God. Hold on a second. If you can just feel the frustration in my voice, folks. I am really, really upset with this. Now, as I said, UnitedHealthcare is claiming that, you know, they're required by Medicare to ask me this question, and it's mandatory that I answer these questions. Okay? Now, about a month later, after this first ordeal, my phone started ringing, as I said, from these people at least 10 times over the past couple of weeks. And finally, this morning, I once again got a call at 8 o'clock this morning from these people when they affirmed with me, once again, Medicare requires me to answer these questions. Now, folks, after interviewing Diane Armstrong years ago, and after going through my own personal battles over my mother's illness, and after hearing Janet Phelan's conservatorship story over her late mother, ultimately causing her to expatriate, after seeing two of my friends, of whom are currently on this plan, and by the way, one of these two friends recommended me to go on this plan and turned me over and referred me to his insurance agent. Both of these people are now currently being loaded up on pharmaceuticals on the advice of their so-called well-meaning doctors. Now, one of my friends is constantly being referred to his doctor's, quote, specialists for one reason or another. And this has been going on ever since he's my age, ever since he's been on Medicare. And, of course, these specialists, I'm sure, are probably one of his doctor's golf buddies. But it's constant for personal physical intrusion, for blood tests, other medical expenses. And I am convinced, folks, that this is a multifaceted attack on the elderly to do a number of things. First of all, for them to build a medical database on us, that's the first thing. The second thing is to find any excuse they can to foist upon us or any people on Medicare their numerous pharmaceuticals in their elaborate testing and blood pressuring and all that other good stuff. And number three, and I think this is part of it, folks, because, you know, all those humanitarian things out there that they hide behind, No Child Left Behind, right? Or the Amber Alert, which Laura Silsby actually is in control of or has a high position in, or Planned Parenthood, or all these supposed, on the surface, these humanitarian organizations. They always hide behind something humanitarian. So, yeah, to find any excuse they can to foist upon us numerous pharmaceuticals, or maybe to establish a reason to possibly report them to authorities in attempts to gain control of their assets. Remember what I had said originally at the top of this, at the beginning, or other so-called protectors. Well, the healthcare people are so-called protectors. What other avenue would they have? I mean, they're hiding behind, we're their insurance company. We want to make sure that they're taken care of. We want to make sure that they're properly medically maintained. That would fit in that category. So, to establish a reason to possibly report them to the authorities in attempts to gain control of their assets under conservatorships and slow kill them, like it says in Silent Weapons for Quiet Wars, while draining their assets. Now, I'm going to share with you, and by the way, Steve, if you're listening, I want you to call in because I want to bounce these questions off you in the medical profession and get your input on this. So if you're listening, dial up the phone. Here are the questions that I was asked. And again, I was told it was mandatory under Medicare guidelines that I answer. And by the way, as I said, I bounced my conclusions off of Steve Elkins this morning. And he concurs. But my question in my own mind is, you know, and as I explore these questions with you, is that they're creating a database. And what would happen if you answered yes to the questions? Or even more importantly, what happens if you answer no to these questions? Dan, do we have Steve on the line? Has he called in yet? I guess Dan's not in there. Dan, has Steve called in yet? Okay, well, I'm going to hold, tell him as soon as he calls you back on a landline, put him right up on the air, because I'm going to hold off on purveying these questions out to the audience until he's up on the air. All right? All right. At any rate, the concerns with me, folks, have reached enormous proportion, because I'm not exaggerating when I tell you these people will not leave me alone. And I have a dilemma with this, because, yes, I'm getting older. Okay, Steve's ready. Steve, let me bring Steve up on the air, folks. Steve Elkins, Mike Herzog, you're on the air, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, Jim. I'm Mike, I just got to talk to John a little bit ago, so a little confused here, but okay. No, I am on board now.
Okay.
We're here.
You obviously weren't listening, but I've kind of given a preempt up to these questions, and I wanted to have you on the line, and you're welcome to ride shotgun with me, because I want to bounce some of this stuff off of you as a medical professional. Now, I was told, Steve, that by my healthcare provider, that these questions were mandatory that I answer, and Medicare is the cause of Medicare is saying they're telling me that Medicare says it's mandatory that I answer these questions. And okay. I've been on Medicare for 3 years, and up until the time that I went on this plan, I have never had Medicare call me and ask me any questions. Okay, yeah. So is that a red flag? Am I wrong in thinking that's a red flag?
It could definitely be a red flag. What I would say is go back to your original signing up. It's basically you signed a contract with the government when you signed up for that policy. So go back to your original contract. You must have something that you signed, and it would have given you the details to everything basically you're agreeing to. And if they put that in there somewhere in a fine print, then they could probably come back and say, you know, we have a right to ask you these questions. If not, they've just amended the contract with you and added something along the way and never actually notified and told you that. That's what Ron McDonald will tell you. That's what I would tell you. So look back at the original contract when you signed up. So that would be the first step I'd do. And the second part is I'll make a little bit of an analogy here. I only address, when I go to the doctor, see a doctor, I address the issues that are pertaining to me at the current time, the present time. If I go in and I've got an ache and a pain here, I address the ache and a pain here and say, what do you think it is? I don't say do a whole head-to-toe physical assessment on me with labs and everything else thrown in. I simply address what needs to be addressed right then and there, my concerns then. It's like going to your mechanic and you said, I have a loss in performance and power going up a hill. Well, he'd say, okay, it's probably this, and we'll look at that. He's not going to tear down your complete engine and do an overhaul and go through with the fine-tooth comb. He's simply going to address what he needs to address is a power issue and performance issue. So, you know, that's kind of where I go from the very beginning. I start off with these conversations saying, address your immediate concerns. Now, all these other questions you're asking, like I said, go back and look at the original contract, because what you did was sign a contract, an obligation, an agreeable obligation to say, I agree with these terms. So I'd first do that.
Well, let me stop you for just a minute and say this, that nobody ever came out to my home and interviewed me. Everything that was done via the telephone through an insurance agent. And then eventually I was given a book in the mail. But before we get to that, I deliberately delayed in putting these questions out that supposedly, that it's mandatory that they ask. So when we get back from the break, Steve, what I'd like to do is bounce these off you, get your thoughts on what specifically they're really looking for. So we'll be back in 3, Michael Herzog of the American Awakening, with my shotgun writing partner for the time, Steve Elkins. Be right back.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354. Or visit MIG911.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host, with my shotgun riding buddy, Steve Elkins, the medical professional here. He's a doctor, but only on TV, yes. Now, before I pose these questions to you, Steve, before you got on the air, I had read a warning that was put out by the book The Retirement Nightmare under conservatorships by Diane Armstrong, when it says that competent senior citizens can be put into probate proceedings and be filed against them by relatives or other so-called protectors. Now, would you agree that an insurance company could proclaim themselves to be a, quote, protector?
Yeah, they can, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because the first step I would take is, like with your mother, you may have not done that, you probably should do this. Well, whoever's listening is in the situation should make sure that your loved ones, your parents, that you have the agreement, you actually have this in writing, that you are a durable power of attorney in all their business regards or their medical decision.
Steve, I already covered that, and I was her durable power of attorney under her trust. By the way, she's deceased. However, I got into it with the nursing home, and the doctor, my mother's doctor, who would never allow me to interview him regarding specific drugs that he was prescribing to my mother to make her, get this, in stage four of Alzheimer's disease, more cognizant of her surroundings, which I argued, knowing my mother, if she were more cognitive of her surroundings in a nursing home, knowing she was entrapped, she would explode, which would be even worse for the, you know, the establishment. But they threatened to turn me over to whoever the powers that be were for elder abuse and have my authority, my medical authority, revoked. Okay,
they'd have no authority. I mean, they could use the threat anytime they want to, but if you have a durable power of attorney and you are the designated person that is going to be responsible for their financial matters or their health matters, you have every right to ask questions and question. If you see changes in behavior that are deteriorating and she's on a medication, you have every right to challenge that, to say, wait a minute, this is not the right medication, evidently, because I'm with her and I can experience this. So this facility did not recognize or basically use the bully effect here. strong arm effect of saying we're the authority, we know better than you, but you had all the legal power right there with you, and actually there should be on your chart a durable power of attorney. You can have that put on your chart. It designates who you are and your ability to make those decisions and ask those questions. You're very much, in a legal sense, you are the man in charge.
No, I agree. At the time, I wasn't an awakened American, and I had another full-time job in a completely different profession, and I was overseeing this, as dumbed down as I was back then, and I allowed them literally to bully me into continuing with this unnecessary medication, which, by the way, did no good.
Right.
Thank God it didn't, because if it would have done what they said it was going to do, my mother would have exploded in there. But, okay, that said, let's fast forward here a bit, because in these, you just had mentioned, you know, if you have something wrong with your car, you take it to a mechanic. You say, okay, I've got a thump in my front end or whatever I've got. Well, now, I've gone to mechanics many times, and they'll say, and oh, by the way, you have this, this, and this, and you have to check it. So they'll look at it, okay? And it's up to you to determine whether you want to spend the money to have them fix A, X, Y, and Z. But from what I got, the overview of the questions, the, by the way, very intrusive questions that these people were asking me, to me, these were bait questions. These people, and the conversation I had with you this morning, are on a fishing expedition. Now, I'm going to start these questions out, okay? And I want your thoughts as a medical professional of why these particular questions would be posed to an individual. Number one. Do you have trouble moving around in your home? Now, why would they ask that question, Steve?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they probably are building a file. They have a file on a lot of people. They get to know who people are, what their needs are going to be. And as Ron McDonald's favorite word, you know what Ron McDonald's favorite word is, don't you, Mike?
What's that?
Commerce. Commerce, baby. So you got mobility problems. Guess that's going to be sold off to somebody, and you're going to be contacted by an electric wheelchair company, one of those electric cart companies, some company. That's one thing I'm glad you mentioned, is that when you build profiles on people, and a lot of on your Google searches or any of your searches, you shouldn't actually be using Google any longer. You should be going to DuckDuckGo.com. For all your searches.
No, sure. I'm glad you brought that up, because I have been a culprit of using Google, and I noticed that lately when I go into Google looking for specific items that I've looked up in the past, for example, the PNAC documents and rebuilding America's defenses, it's gone. They've purged it. We'll take a break. We'll be back in a few minutes, folks. We'll continue with these questions and my special shotgun writing co-host, Steve Elkins. I don't want to call him a guest because he's more than that. He's a host in his own right. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Well, it's all.
Folks, we're back with the American Awakening. Michael Herzog, your host. Steve Elkins is lending me a helping hand here. Steve, you know, I've got a myriad of questions here. I just pulled out my book, which, by the way, when I went on Medicare, the Medicare book they sent me was about 30 pages long. This one is 322 pages long, 56 of which are dedicated to every drug known to mankind and what my copays would be if I took them. Now, that said, you mentioned a little bit about Ron McDonald and his word commerce. All right,
his favorite word is commerce.
Okay,
actually, I swear to God that his little baby girl's first word was not mom or daddy. It was commerce. We kid about this all the time. Now, Ron's favorite word is commerce, and he's correct. It's always about the money, Michael. Always about the money. Follow the trail to the money.
So are you saying that somehow or another, without signing any document, which I have never done, they can take this information and distribute it in commerce to wheelchair dealerships or cane dealerships or, you know, medical device dealerships or whatever, and I can't object to that?
I would think that's exactly what's happening here, because we know a lot of our information. Like, getting back to the Google searches, like I said, listening out is don't use Google anymore. Go to DuckDuckGo.com.
Right.
And even Mike Rivero said that's a good one to go to. But you'll notice as you type in, and if you did like a Google search, you type in, it automatically tries to fill out the rest of the word for you. It already knows who you are. It's already figured out who you are and actually built a file on you, on your choices of what you've searched for in the past. So my thinking is probably, like I said, Ron McDonald's favorite word, commerce, in that you filled out, if you fill out these documents, basically what it does is it builds a file, a profile of who you are, what your needs might be. Of course, commerce needs. And we know we live in an information age that is very vulnerable. We see it hacked all the time. Banks are getting hacked. Everything is getting hacked. What was it? Ruby Tuesdays got hacked, and some other big retailer got hacked. 500,000 identities were stolen or information received. So we know the system is flawed. This whole cyber system, this whole digital system is all flawed. So you go on the internet and you put all this information out there, and if you have an agreement with somebody to say, I'm going to answer your questions, how do you know that their server is going to be safe to keep that information within just the parties of two, you and the person asking the questions? So you in good faith, you fill out these applications, you answer all these questions. That server is hacked for commerce or for somebody else's needs. And the next thing, you start seeing emails pop up just saying, hey, you might be needing this and this and this. That's how you know when they figured out, they have a profile on you and they've already figured you out and what your possible commerce needs may be, is that you start getting emails and texts. And you get all this information sent to you, and you never requested it from the very beginning. So they've already profiled you, built a file on you of your possible future commerce needs. So the information you think you're keeping safe, and your personal information, which is your private information, you think it's safe, it's not safe. I mean, look at our electoral system here. It's flawed. It is hugely flawed. But, and that's just one incident that is flawed. The whole digital thing with internet is so flawed. So I say maintain your privacy. Address your current needs that you need to with your physician, and address those needs only. This is not a fishing expedition. This is not trolling. Address your current needs only.
Well, and which poses the question, which I have several, if I don't answer these questions, if I refuse to answer these questions, does Medicare get a report that I'm not being cooperative and have oppositional defiance disorder, which could be deemed as in the DSM a mental disorder? I mean, you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. But, again, another question is the motivation behind this. Why do they put 56 pages of drugs and list them all with the copays? Is Medicare somehow subsidizing these insurance companies to try to entice people to get on these pharmaceuticals?
That's possible. I can't answer that for sure, but, everything's about money. So that's a good likelihood that could be.
Okay, let's go to question two.
Without proof of it, I could say it's possible, but I don't know. I'd hate to say one way or the other, but, hey, what are pharmaceuticals in business for, to sell their drugs? I mean, you watch TV and all you see is disorders they actually created and invented, but trying to market to you to basically say why you need this medication. Do you have this problem? Hey, I think I do. I think I might need that medication. Better go speak to my doctor about it. So,
They shotgun a myriad of different pharmaceuticals out there, and they're thinking, you throw them enough crap against the informational wall, and somebody's going to, they're going to take the bait.
Sure.
But second question, do you use a cane or a walker? Again, we could attribute that to question one. Do I have trouble moving around my home? Because they want to sell me a cane or a walker or a wheelchair or whatever. But get this, here's another one. Do you need any help from any other person? Now, my instincts tell me that if I were to answer yes to that question, it goes back to that whole thing about conservatorship. I would think that they would probably, send somebody out to my home to interview me to find out if I, have indeed help, if I need help from another person. Maybe I'm not getting that help from a, quote, professional, again, boiling it down to commerce and the professional. Yeah, I'm taking calls. We can take some calls, Dan. That's fine. You don't mind taking calls, do you, Steve?
No. To address that real quick here before I forget it. No, there you go again, right, to another mobility issue that I can't get around. So you would probably be sold off. Your information might be sold off to somebody in the business of wheelchairs, or it may be sold off to an industry where they have traveling people that come into your home and help you. But bottom line is, again, the word, the big C word, commerce.
Okay. as I progress down here, so we got the commerce thing going, and evidently, right. You know, silence is acquiescence or silence is acceptance. You know, I must have accepted them to be able to do this thing to me. It goes on to again, they asked, do you need help from any other person? Do you have difficulties getting in and around your home? And then they come up with this big one, have you been treated for memory loss? Now, why would they ask a question like that?
Well, if you had memory loss, would you remember even how to answer that question? Think about it.
That's a good point. I don't remember.
You know, I don't know. You know, you should just put it down there in the little box. Others says, I don't know. I have memory issues. I don't know.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Play around with that one. That's a good one.
But here's another one. Now these... correct me if I'm wrong. Do you not agree that these are very intrusive questions? Have I been treated for memory loss? In the past month, now wrap your head around this one. In the past month, have you had little interest or been depressed? Now, what's up with that one? Okay.
Well,
are they trying to,
what's one of the biggest selling medications out there right now?
What would it be? Wellbutrin, maybe?
Oh, antidepressants, SSRIs.
Okay. All right. I mean,
for depression, we have a whole population that's depressed. And of course, why not? This whole country's going to hell in a handbasket. Why not be depressed? Put me on a medication so keep me numb so I don't think about what's going on.
Okay, you know? But getting back to square one here, Steve. Okay, have I been treated for any memory loss? But have in the past month have I had little interest or been depressed? Now, had I answered yes to this question, am I going to be getting a phone call from a psychiatrist? Am I going to get a door knock from a couple of so-called experts that are going to give me some kind of a psych evaluate? What? Something's going to happen.
You might possibly, or they'll definitely look at. That would be a red flag to say, well, you know, maybe here's a patient that. Needs to be on a medication. Like I said, these are all little building a file on you, personal file on you, to see what your future commerce needs may be.
Okay, well, let me continue with this. My future commerce needs. But they're going to make sure if I answer yes to any of these questions that there's definitely going to be in my life future commerce to their benefit. You know, and I'm trying to put the pieces together here and figure out, okay, are they getting a kickback from the pharmaceutical companies? Is Medicare subsidizing for this? There's got to be some, connection here between why they're going to all this effort to build this file and find out if I have anything at all wrong with me. And I'll tell you this, Steve, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, I've got two friends that are on this healthcare plan. Both of these guys took their doctor's advice, and they are literally loaded up on SSRIs, statin drugs, or whatever, and they feel like crap, right? Okay, because they have taken the bait, walked down the road, taken their doctor's advice, believed in what their doctor said about their current condition based upon medical testing and lab tests and blood tests and all this good stuff, and they find themselves in this position of going to the doctor to get this, that, and the other thing, and being referred to other expert, specialists that are probably the doctor's golfing buddies, right? That continually are draining their bank account. Now, that said, here's the next question: Have you been in the a hospital patient in the last 12 months? And I answered no. Okay, that's not a big deal.
Well, they already know that one, so I don't know why they even ask you that. They already know that.
Probably to see if I'm cooperative. Or
maybe,
defiant.
Maybe, yeah, compliant.
I mean,
yeah.
Again, it's a dichotomy. It's a dilemma because if you answer yes or if you answer no, okay, then, they're going to say, they're going to turn around and say, well, okay, this guy's answering no, he isn't, they already know the answer to the question. Do you take any prescription drugs? Do you take any prescription drugs? Now, why would they want to know that if I take any prescription drugs? Because
they should already know that too because you would have filled scripts. They would have already known that too. So I don't know. These would be questions just to check you to see if you're going to be honest with them. They may be bait questions to see if you're going to be honest because they already know what medications you're on. If you've ever filled a script up and you had to at a pharmacy, well, it goes back to them and they know because they subsidize that and you only pay so much. So they already know the answer to that question again.
Right. Okay.
These might be bait questions for honesty.
Right. Okay. So going down the road here. Do you have high blood pressure? Well, nobody really knows if they have high blood pressure unless they have the blood pressure check. So I said, no, I don't think I do. Do you have high cholesterol? Do you have heart enlargement or disease? Do you have heart failure? Do you have emphysema? Do you have asthma? All of these questions, which they have to already know. But here's the big one. Okay. Do you have any mental health disorders? Now, that's a good one. Why would they ask me a question like that?
Again, for the medications. SSRI is something to keep you sedate, calm, or again. By the way, on the blood pressure, do you have any way of answering other and filling in a little dialogue, or is it just a check the box type deal? Is that check the box?
No, it was actually they were yes or no questions. But
that's too bad because you could say, I have blood pressure issues when I'm bothered with stupid crap like this, and when my government misbehaves, I get very angry. My blood pressure seems to go up when I'm being lied to. Other than that, it's pretty normal blood pressure.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We got a caller on the line. I'm going to go to Joe in California in just a minute, but I'm going to go this last question here. On a scale of one, now why would you think this? On a scale of 1 to 5, what is your confidence level in filling out medical forms? Now, what's up with that? I mean,
that's a good.
What are they going to?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's a good question. I don't have an answer for that.
Maybe they think I need a conservator. Maybe they think I need a
confidence in believing that what's your relationship that you're filling this out and that will be kept just between you and the insurance provider or the government there, or are you concerned that it's going to be sold off and be on the net and everybody's going to be bothering you? It's kind of a stupid question to ask. It's a stupid question to ask.
All right, let's bring up Joe in California. Joe, you're on with Michael and Steve. How you doing, buddy?
Hi.
Hello.
Thank you for taking my call.
Okay.
I just wanted to say a few things. I came late to your show, a few things that I've experienced.
Okay, great. Go ahead.
One was when an elderly was in the hospital and they fell out of one of these chairs that typically sat next to the electronic bed. It kind of looks like a heavy-duty oak recliner-looking thing, but it's got some wheels on it and it has a...
We call that the blue whale. It's called the blue whale.
Okay.
Actually, a pink whale. It's a big cardiac chair. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay. And she fell out of that. And so the person I was with that was there to see their family member took some pictures of it. Next thing you know, there's the security for the hospital is there saying that their policy is we don't allow anyone to take any pictures. Where you're not allowed to document anything. And I said, that's crazy. I said, the first chance you get, you better take a picture. And then a few days later, we came back. When she had fell out of the chair, she had got a bump on the back of her head. The side of her neck was black and blue. It looks like she had the battle signs around her eyes. Both eyes were black. And memory was lost. And you know, so we just kind of stood around. She took some photos and so on and so forth. But it looked bad. But the first thing the hospital didn't want anyone to do was to document it.
Sure, of course.
It's a scary thing.
I'm surprised. Did somebody from risk management come and talk to you?
No, what happened was the person was in there waiting to get sent to another hospital, but because they already had a memory issue,
right.
They said they couldn't go to another hospital unless the hospital had some sort of magnetic lockdowns on the door so a patient couldn't get up in the middle of the night and just get out, so to speak.
Right, so like an Alzheimer's lockdown unit. Right.
And so... They kept saying, no, we can't do it today, but we'll get it next day. No, we can't get it. And what they were doing was they were just running up the bill at their own hospital and not moving the paperwork. But eventually the person got hit with a huge bill for the time that they were in this, and they were trying to say, you owe this because the insurance that you have isn't approved by this hospital. And, just the paperwork and the people who get in line to get paid and cash in on it.
Sure.
And it's very sad. In the old days, how did people get through the 1800s without Big Pharma and without, they probably didn't.
I'll answer your question right then. They did it from natural medicine. Natural medicine.
And
they're under attack right now. They're under attack. Anybody with holistic natural medicine is under attack right now.
What I wanted to say was, when they tell you you're going to a doctor, he's practicing medicine. You know what I mean? He's, there's, I don't know how many people die annually in the hospital, or they go into the hospital and they get sicker than, or they die of something that they didn't even go in for.
170,000. Go ahead.
The numbers are...
It's called a nosocomial infection. Correct. Right.
But I think that like if you try to do a Google search, I'm sure it sounds like my thoughts are jumping all over, but they're all connected, trust me. When you do a Google search, the Google looks at, oh, I don't think he needs the answers to those questions, so they filter it or they shadow ban you or whatever. It's like the whole system is working as a whole behind the scenes, and you don't know. It's like this big curtain, and it's right. working constantly under computer software that, you know, faster than humans could do. They just plug something in, and it runs in the background and makes sure that you don't
learn anything. Well, it's got a program. Google's got a program that actually finds keywords. So that's why, if you listen earlier, I say, ditch your Google. Go to another search engine called DuckDuckGo.com. It's kind of a silly name, but DuckDuckGo.com. And Google has been known to have their search engine has a little program there. Basically, it finds keywords. It flags them on the word itself. And so I would definitely ditch that. Look for something else, another search engine.
My point was this: when big companies like that, Google isn't their name. When you look at like the New York Stock Exchange, it has like a behind the scenes name, and they get in bed with government, and suddenly they get tax exempt funding. That's tremendous amounts of money. They don't want the public to know it, and they always try to market it as it's in the best interest of the human race. Right. And in reality, it's not. Whether they're doing GPS carring or I don't want to dump on Uber or anything like that, but the GPSing or the Google is now building a rocket with NASA, and it's all set up in Florida to part of that CERN machine. It's crazy stuff.
Joe, do me a favor. I've got other callers on the line. If you had some other points, please make them, because I've got callers waiting. Go ahead.
Okay, that's just all I wanted to say. I think that the goal is for them to make sure that the American race or the human race doesn't come together and stand up versus the divide and conquer and make sure everyone's labeled as mentally ill so that everything can be taken from them and somehow you've waived your rights under some loophole.
No, Joe, they're trying to actually take away basically your ability to decide for yourself. You're no longer thought of as a citizen. They want you to think of yourself as a dependent. And, of course, dependence has to depend on somebody, and, of course, they want to be that person, that government. So when you talk about the mandatory vaccine, that's just a small part of creating a dependency that you don't know what's good for yourself. We do, and so if you comply with all that stuff, you're putting yourself in a situation, you're taking away your ability to be called yourself a citizen, and you're putting yourself in a situation where you're now referred to as a dependent. So that's why I can leave you with that, and definitely ditch the Google search engine. Go with DuckDuckGo.com if you want to find some reliable information out there.
All right. Well, thank you for taking my call.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it. Let's see. Sherry in Texas, you'll be up next. But Marty in Idaho, thank you for waiting. I'll have to probably carry you through maybe the top of the hour break. So Marty in Idaho, what's on your mind, buddy?
Yes, I want to – it's Marty.
Okay.
I'm a girl.
Okay.
An old girl. I've been through this, and when I heard you first make a comment one day, let me just get this out real quick. I'll go like four sentences, and then if you have a question, I think that would be better so you can move on. I heard you say United Healthcare, and I went, oh, my God, he's doing United Healthcare. Well, it was too late. Yeah, I couldn't email you. Got 3,000 emails. So they're connected with AARP, and I got away from that years ago. So that's the problem. You want to get away. If you can, I have a health insurance guy who's taking care of me for years, and I've got this great insurance plan, and $30 a month, and $10 to go see the doctor once a year, because I do natural healing. So it's good. I can say the name of the company if you want me to.
Sure, go ahead.
It's a Blue Cross thing called True Blue. And I don't know what you have down there in Arizona, but anyway. So I go to the doctor, and he just knows I'm doing a natural thing, but I have to get my blood work once a year for thyroid stuff. And so he doesn't need, lets it go. He says, no, she doesn't need this. She doesn't want blood pressure medicine. He's really good. The last time I was there to get my blood work drawn, he took a piece of paper and he held it up and he shook it and he said, yeah, and they want you to have a physical. He said, but whatever. And he put it down and he's really on my side. So when I went to pay my $10 copay, the gal said, okay, we need to set you up for your physical in August. And I said, well, I don't want to do that. Do I have to? She said, ultimately, the bottom line was, you can do what you want. They'll ding us. Well, I'll let them ding the doctor's office thing because I'm not doing it. Because I know what they're going to do. They'll find something for next week. I'll be dying of some dread disease, and I need blah, blah, blah. So you got to get out of UnitedHealthcare. That's my main thing to tell you. It's because of ARP. They're connected with them, and they're a horrible liberal thing.
No. Yeah. And I appreciate that. I appreciate the call, Marty, and I've written down the information. Now, I'm going to go to Sherry in Texas next, and then Glenn in Michigan. You're going to be up after that. Sherry in Texas, you're on with Michael. And Steve, go ahead. What's on your mind, girl?
Liz, thank you. I'm going to nitpick on some of these questions. I don't know how some people may answer them, if that could be used against them. I'm just being skeptical here. But, like, do you need help from others? Well, people might say, well, I enjoy help from others, but I can't really say I need it. Now, you know, they could say, well, yeah, I like help from others, but that's not what they're asking, right? It's do you need it? I mean, can you not... Okay, because people might answer that in a flippant way, and that could, I don't know if it'll be used against them. That's why I'm bringing it up, but there's that one. And have you had a memory loss? Well, they might laugh at that one and say, well, you know, I forget things once in a while. Okay, I forget a name once in a while, and that's how I am. If I were to say that, because I'm wanting to be, see, that's not a really a loss. But if I answered that way, could that be used against me?
Well,
That's my point. You're damned if you do, and you're damned if you don't.
Yeah.
But if you answer no, you know, then they're going, okay, we don't believe that, because everybody's going to answer yes to something, right?
Well,
and then they give you a report to Medicare that says, look, this guy's answering no to all the questions, you know, and Medicare is going, okay, well, that doesn't sound right. Let's send a representative out from the government, because we're here to help, and find out.
Right.
I don't know. Right. You know, Steve, your thoughts?
Yeah, I still think it's bottom line is commerce. It's a little fishing. I mean, if they gave you the ability to actually put something in narrative, then you know somebody's. See, then you'd know somebody's reading it and could say, you know, I'm 65 years old. Sure, I forget things once in a while. Would it indicate that I have Alzheimer's or beginning stages of Alzheimer's? No. But they don't allow you to put anything in as a narrative. So what's being done is they're yeses and nos. You're checking yeses and nos, and they're building a file.
Okay, let's hold that thought. We got to go to the top of the hour break, Steve. Sherry, stick around. Glenn in Michigan, I'm going to get to you in a few minutes. Be right back. Top of the hour break coming up.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.